evening again. As if you don't know me, my name is Esther. I'm Alistair's wife. It's nice to be here tonight with the students. I normally miss out, but you can see why. It's nice to have the kids here tonight, but it can get quite a distraction. But it's lovely for all of us to be here. So I just want to share scripture with you guys before we start. And it is in Matthew 19, verse 18. So this guy basically comes to God and he says, what must I do, God, to follow you? What must I do to get into the kingdom? And Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimonies, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these things I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. And tonight, as we're going to give into the offering bags, I just want to ask, when you hear this, all of us knows this verse and this piece of scripture, what is going through your mind? Maybe you're already doing everything right, and you're saying, but God, what do I still lack? And maybe in some of our lives, it's still that finances are holding us back to just be in the fullness of God's kingdom. And tonight, if that's something that's still holding you back, just trust God as the offering baskets come through to really free you of this love of money or the thing that you still want to hold on. And just trust God that you can really get into a place where you can freely give out of a heart that really wants to give, and where you can get to a place where you say, God, everything is yours. Everything I have is yours. So I just want to give it back to you. So we're going to take up the offering now.
I want to ask, is there anyone here at the moment that is feeling physical pain of some sort? In some area of your life, just anyways, is there anyone that's feeling physical pain? I just want you to be honest. I just feel we must pray before the service starts. Is there anyone? The Lord wants to heal you tonight, I believe. If there's anything, if you shy, then it's fine. Come afterwards. Just feel someone's like uncomfortable in some area of your life or some part of your body, and he wants to just give you peace before the sermon starts, before the service starts. So, because we can just close our eyes. Maybe you're too shy yet tonight. Just close your eyes, and if it's you, just put up your hand. I'd love to pray. I'm not going to expose you. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray right there that the pain subsides. So if there is anyone. Thanks for your honesty. Is there anyone else? Just be honest. I'm just going to give some more opportunity. Thanks so much for the two hands that have gone up. You can lower your hand again now. Anyone else? Just two people are honest here this evening. Is there anyone else? Don't be shy. Jesus wants to just touch you right now. So let's just keep our eyes closed. Lord, thank you that you are the healer. Jesus, that you want to bring peace to physical bodies. Lord, right now, just speak healing to the bodies that you know need healing right now, Lord. Thank you that you see the hands, Lord. You see the honesty. Wherever there's discomfort, God, I just thank you right now for peace, God. I thank you that you work right now, Lord, in those bodies, in Jesus' name. Wherever it is, Lord, even if it's the most impossible situation, thank you tonight, Lord, for your power. Thank you for the flow of your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you bring peace to every mind, even right now, Lord. Some minds have been running around this week, and it's a new term, a new stuff, a new stresses, Lord. And some people even said when they started this term and started this week that they're not going to stress this year. They're not going to, and they're running around in again and feeling just uneasy again and stressed. And I thank you now for calm, Lord, for peace to minds that are running around as well. Lord, thank you that you want us whole in our physical bodies, our minds, our spirits. You want us whole, God. And I thank you for wholeness right now in your presence, this fullness of joy. thank you, Lord. I thank you for peace right now. And we just commit this word to you now, Lord. Thank you that you want to speak to each one of us, Lord. Thank you that you've got an appointment with us tonight. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can worship you, Lord, with song and with our finances, Lord. But Lord, I thank you that this word, Lord, will bear fruit in the years and months and weeks to come, Lord. Lord, have your way. Let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Thanks so much to the band for the incredible ministry. Benny and everyone else, it's really amazing. The Spirit is so welcome in this church. Amen. Spirit is welcome in your life. If you make him welcome, he's so excited to just meet with us. Amen. And I want to say there's good news for us tonight, that we are not alone. As believers, we are not alone. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel there's no people around us. But I'm going to say, whether there's people around you or not, it doesn't matter. If there's no one around you, you're not alone. I don't know who of you watched the final of the Australian Open last Sunday afternoon, but it was an incredible final. Federer won his 18th Grand Slam, and it was a five-setter, and he almost lost it. And I was really amazed. And this week I heard what he said afterwards. The people asked him, how did you beat Nadal? Because Nadal is kind of his nemesis. Nadal has got a bit of a sort of thing over him in finals. I think it's 6-3. It was 6-2, now it's 6-3 that Nadal has won against Federer. And so someone asked him, or they were interviewing him, and said, but how did you manage to beat Nadal? What was different? And he said an interesting thing. He said that I played the ball and not the opponent. And I guess it seems obvious, of course you're going to play the ball in tennis, but maybe at times he was worried about Nadal, and all he was doing was reacting to him the whole time. And he said this time he decided to go on the offensive and just play the ball and make sure that he doesn't worry about what his opponent's doing. He's worrying about what he has to do. He's focused. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about keeping your eye on the ball. Who can do this with a mic? See, some of us like this. We keep our eyes on the ball for a while, and then afterwards we see, oh, there's something nice on the screen there, and then we lose the ball, or we start falling asleep and don't get focused. So I'm just testing who's focused tonight. Well done, Yaku. Funny it has to land in your hand. But I want to talk about keeping our eye on the ball, keeping focused, because in life we have an opponent, and his name's not Rafael Nadal. Sometimes Nadal is also the winner. It just happened to be the loser this time. But we have an opponent in life, and there is a ball that we must focus on. So who's the opponent? Who's the ball? We'll get to that now. Talking about Nadal and Federer, I heard an interesting comment that one of the Afrikaans radio presenters said after the match. He says, Nadal slaan die bal ver, Roger slaan die bal verder. Thought it was quite funny, but anyway. But you see, anyone who understands sport will know that focus is very, very important. Anyone agree with me? Any people who play ball sports, or even if you do athletics or a sport that doesn't involve a ball, focus is very important. And so I want to talk tonight about about what are we focusing on? What are we putting our efforts and our attention and our mind to? And what is the ball that we are supposed to focus on? But before we get to the ball, we need to know that we do have an opponent. Anyone had a bit of resistance in life before? I'm sure you will agree with me. We have an opponent. We have an enemy. And Peter writes here in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, and he says, be sober-minded, be watchful, because you have an enemy. And he's not just any enemy. He's in fact a prowling enemy. In fact, it says here that he's prowling around. In other words, he's moving. So if you've overcome the enemy in one area of your life, you know what? He's not just going to keep trying to get at that area. He'll go to another area in your life. He's moving. He's looking for any opportunity. In fact, it says that he's like a roaring lion. And I think a lion isn't something that we play with, isn't it so? And he's out to distract. In fact, it says that he's seeking not only to just distract you, he's seeking to devour your life. He's seeking to destroy your life. The devil is not an easy opponent. The devil is actually a dirty player. And so I just want to look at tonight, just I've mentioned a few things here, is how does the devil distract us? First of all, he knows our weaknesses. So I just want to say there's a law of time that goes like this. It's called McDonald's laws of time. And one of the McDonald's laws of time says that your unused time, if you don't seize time, if you don't focus in a time or your energy on something during that time, that unused time is going to flow to your weaknesses. So if you're weak in some area, if you kind of find yourself struggling to get away from the TV or from the internet, you know, if you don't do something else with your time, then your natural inclination is going to be to sit in front of the TV and veg or to look on the internet or whatever. If that's a weakness in your life, if you don't seize time, if you don't do something productive with your time, you're going to be tempted, or you're just going to go to that natural weakness of yours. Isn't that so? Anyone experienced that in your life? Or you're eating, or, you know, if you don't do something with your time, and you know, the fridge is very attractive and you start to eat, and it's just a weakness. Every one of us has different weaknesses. So the devil knows our weaknesses. And so he's going to try and target those weaknesses. And if we don't focus on the ball, if we don't focus on what we're supposed to do in life, then we're going to fall into either, the first thing is guilt, shame, or condemnation, falling into sin. We fall into sin, and then the devil loves to cause us shame and guilt over our lives and condemnation. And so we struggle to get out of it. And then he gets us exactly where he wants. And so we need to be watchful. The second thing is he just keeps us busy. The busyness of life just pulls us in, and we get so busy and we get so distracted that we just forget about what life is about. And I read someone posted something amazing on Facebook. Their little daughter is very young, and she's just discovering how to just feel the grass and the leaves. And she took her to the park the other day, and she wrote the following. She was so amazed at this little daughter of hers, how she reacted to this first time she's kind of been out in nature. And she writes the following. She says, at first she was a bit weary, and the texture of the grass or the texture of the ground around her was a bit strange. But once her hands reached the ground, she was completely content in just being right there, feeling and touching one speck of grass at a time, picking up each little leaf, examining it from both sides, totally in awe and wonder, so much so that she blocked out all the noise, even that of her mommy calling her name to get a smile for the photo. All of a sudden, the mother writes, I felt a little lump in my throat. When did I lose the ability to just sit down and enjoy God's creation in such a childlike way? On my journey to grow up and do adult, when exactly did I stop noticing the little leaves? In fact, when did I stop to just be quiet and content among the wonder that is his art? I know we are all super busy and life happens, but if we are so busy being busy, can we really truly say that we are living? How much are we missing? Because there is no time to just sit down and breathe in all that is him. I don't want to look back and remember how rushed my life was. I want to look back and remember how God spoke to me while I was just innocently playing on the grass, completely content to just be with him in that moment. So the second thing is we get so busy, life becomes so busy, and so we don't have time to focus on what God really wants to do in our lives. The third thing is just a love of money, possibly a love of money and the love of the things of the world and material stuff just pulls us in, and we so love to do a lot of things, and this world has so much to offer, and so we get a little bit distracted. Or maybe even social media and the internet, you know, we have access on this phone, we have access to incredible amounts of information, and we can just get distracted. It's not all bad stuff. I'm not talking only about bad stuff. I'm just talking about you can spend hours and hours on this phone or on the internet, and what are you really doing? Is that what you're supposed to do? And you get distracted. Or else you could have a fear of people and the devil, you know, keeps you isolated and you just don't like people because you've been hurt. And so you get isolated and you miss your purpose. You miss what God has for you. Or maybe worry, stress, anxiety. I've just mentioned some of the things, how the devil distracts us and he gets us to focus on the stuff that we're not supposed to focus on. And when we get into this, it's a cycle, because to get out of it, you have to almost keep focusing on this thing to get out of it. And I've got good news for us tonight. We don't have to focus on the opponent. Just like Roger Federer, we know he's there and we know that he's got some good shots in the book. But we just need to focus on the ball. Amen. So what about the ball? Who is the ball? I believe the ball is represented by two things. The ball is represented by the center of this universe, the center of our lives, the center of everything, the center of the Word of God. The ball is Jesus himself. And the devil loves to keep us focused on all sorts of other things because he knows if we focus on the ball, we are going to win. Amen. If we focus on Jesus, the victory is ours automatically. But if we get distracted, then at times we'll have to have defeat and we'll have to go through the pain of defeat. But I tell you, if we focus on the ball, the victory is ours. And so tonight I just want to talk about how do we focus on the ball. And I believe the ball doesn't only represent Jesus, because when we focus on Jesus, Jesus has something for us. He's got a task for us to do. He's got a match for us to win. He's got life for us to do and do well and conquer the enemy. Amen. And so focusing on the ball is not only focusing on Jesus, but then when we focus on Jesus, he shows us his plan and he sends us out. And we come to him and we receive from him, and then he says, go now and give. And so we need to keep our eyes on the ball. And I want to encourage us tonight, we are not alone when we have to focus on the ball. In fact, in our own strength, if we are alone and we try to focus on the ball, we're going to try and try and we're going to succeed in certain ways, but we're going to fall again and again if we don't realize that we are not alone. We've got a coach. And I met the coach. I met this coach. I knew Jesus in my life. So just to share a little bit of our testimony, I met Jesus, and I knew I had to focus on Jesus. I knew Jesus was my salvation. Jesus saved me. Jesus gave me life, and he gave me a ticket to heaven. But I needed this coach, because I realized this game of life is not easy. And some people say when you have Jesus, you have everything, and it's easy, and life just becomes a cruise. And it's so the lie. It's so a lie. It's so not the truth. Because Jesus said, you know what, I'm giving you a coach, a helper. And when I met this coach, my life changed. When I met this coach, I was encouraged, I was inspired, I was on fire for what Jesus wanted to do in and through my life. And it helped me to focus on him. And in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, I want you to read that if you have time. Read through the disciples' conversation with Jesus. Jesus saying to his disciples, listen, yeah, I'm going to start preparing for you a home. And they didn't want him to go away. And he said, you know what? It's better that I go away. Because guess what? I'm going to send you the helper. Three times he said it. One in chapter 14, one in chapter 15, one in chapter 16. He says, I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send you the one who's going to come alongside you. And I like to call him the coach, because in sport, I think we can identify with that. And he said, I'm going to send you the one who is called the Spirit of Truth. And yeah, in John chapter 16, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Tell someone next to you, all truth. You see, we don't have all truth. As we're sitting here, not one of us, and even together, we don't have all truth. Some people think they have. Some people have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and they think they've got all truth. But you know what? They haven't got all truth. But there is one who has got all truth, and there's one who wants to lead us into all truth. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. He's the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. It's an excellent example of the perfect coach. And so tell somebody next to you, you have a coach. You have a helper. And I remember I'm still a bit of an athlete, but in my day, I was an athlete and I was quite serious. And so I realized the importance of a coach. And I was inspired at school to do running, because, you know, you do the rugby and the cricket thing, you do the ball sport thing, and then you realize, you know, I'm not so great at it. And my eyes were a problem, because I didn't realize I actually didn't have proper sight because my one eye was actually just weak and I was actually seeing out of one eye the whole time. It was compensating. And when they did those tests at school, I would like make sure I closed this eye, but I would look through the fingers because I never wanted to wear glasses. But meanwhile, my eyes, and at the end of my trick, I realized I actually needed contact lens. I need glasses. My eyes are like, the optometrist said, how could you? And I realized that's why I was being bold in cricket every time because, you know, your judgment is affected. With one eye, you can't judge distance or all of that. So I started running, and I had this incredible coach. So praise the Lord. He used my weird eyes to get me running. But I had this inspiring coach, and he made us believe that we could do anything. We as a team could beat every other team, and we were unbeaten in Port Elizabeth. Amongst all the schools there, we beat all the schools as a team, and he focused on team. He said there's good individuals is good, but as a team, we're going to win every team competition there is, and we did. We used to go to the rugby guys. The rugby guys would lose. In fact, we came up here to Grey College twice, and we beat them here in Bloemfontein. And we were like to the rugby guys, can't you guys win, man? I mean, you know. And obviously, Grey PE always loses to Grey Bloom in rugby, especially up here. Okay, but in cross country, we beat them. But he was inspiring. He made us believe that we could do anything. And so the importance of a coach is so crucial. And I look back and I saw a post the other day. The same coach said he posted on Facebook and he said, you know what? He had an inspiring coach. He wants to honor this guy because this guy inspired him to run. And I just said, I posted back and I said, you know, thank you for passing on that legacy. It's incredible because you inspired me to run. Because I couldn't really put one foot in front of the other. One of the coaches at the school said, it's amazing that you're doing so well because I really didn't think you could put one foot in front of the other. He really thought I was like this guy that wouldn't run and there I would win the odd race. But it was because of this coach. He made me believe. And it's the same with every time I've had a coach in my life, I've just been so thankful and I've realized, you know, when I try to do it on my own, it's impossible. I won't go as far. And any sports person will know without a coach, you will not go as far. In fact, you will be beaten by someone who's got a coach because a coach is so essential. And the coach in life is so essential. If we don't understand this coach that has been given to us by Jesus, then we'll not understand how to do this life. It says here that he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to not speak on his own authority. He's not here to glorify himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He wants to guide us into all truth. He wants to tell us about the future. And I want to say the coach, Holy Spirit coach, wants to tell you what 2017 holds for you. He wants to tell you the next step. If you're unsure about this year, if you're unsure about the challenges in this year, you know what? He's already got all truth and he's seen it all. He wants to tell you how to do this thing called life. It's just amazing. And what's amazing is he's glorified Jesus Christ and his purpose is to take everything that Jesus had and give it to Jesus' followers. Just think about that for a moment. Everything that Jesus operated in, every power, all the words of knowledge, the prophecies, the supernatural stuff Jesus operated in, the love that he had for people, the compassion, it's available to us. In fact, even in that same chapter, one of those three chapters, he said, greater things are you going to do than I do. Isn't that amazing? But you've got to know the coach. You've got to have a relationship with the helper. It's called the Holy Spirit. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The last words in Luke 24 that Jesus said, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And I believe in these last days, guys, we need power from on high. Amen. Can anyone say amen? To live this Christian life is impossible. In fact, we're going to lose. The devil is too good. But he's been defeated on the cross. And in fact, the reason Jesus came was so that the Spirit could be poured out, so that he could go away and say, you know what, the same power that operated in me amongst these 12 guys and 70 people and whoever followed me, the same power is going to operate to whoever wants it. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I just want to share a few thoughts around who the Holy Spirit is. What did he come to do? So that we can have a relationship with him again. And I believe tonight there are some people, yeah, I really believe that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit for the first time. But I also believe tonight that some people need to be filled again. Because you've lost the voice of the coach. You can't hear the voice of the coach anymore. Or you've just neglected the voice of the coach. And tonight he just wants to activate it. And he wants to tell you, seek him. Because every coach, you know, you have to still go to a coach. You've got to say, coach, coach me now. If you're a sports person, you're going to say to this guy, can you coach me? I believe you're a good coach. You've got to seek him and pursue him and say to him, coach, this is my goals. These are what I want to do. So coach me. And it's the same with the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't force himself on you. Say, I'm going to coach you now. And at school, kind of, we had to take the coaches that were there, you know, because that's how it works. But in life, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to force himself upon you. He says, come to me. Come and ask me for wisdom. Ask me. Go through, read through Proverbs. It's all about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit. Wisdom comes from the coach, the Spirit himself, the helper. In Romans 8 verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I want to say tonight there is a battle for our focus. Amen. Anyone here get distracted easily? I think we can all put up our hands. Because there are so many distractions. And the flesh is such a distraction. The flesh is like, you just want to fulfill the flesh because, you know, you maybe just been born again. And so you come out of a world of where the flesh was ruling and now you've come to Christ and suddenly Christ reigns. Are we supposed to reign? But you seem to be so caught between the two. Is Christ reigning or is my flesh reigning? And I've got good news for us tonight. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to help us to focus on the things of the Spirit that we can live according to his word. Amen. But the flesh will battle for our focus. The flesh will want us to focus on things that, and ultimately the devil knows where our flesh is. He knows our weakness and he's going to say to us, just focus on what's nice. Focus on emotional stuff. Focus on what feels good. And that's what the world is going for now. The world is going for all the feelings, all the thinkings, all the stuff that is contrary to the word of God. Sometimes it's the same, but most of the time it's contrary to the word of God. Isn't that so? And so the flesh is warring against the Spirit, but I want to say that the Spirit has come to do amazing stuff. The Spirit has come to focus us, first of all, on who Christ is. In Romans 8, it goes on. Romans 8 is an incredible book about, or a chapter about the Holy Spirit. It starts off by saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but then it says there is this battle. There's this battle of the flesh and the Spirit. And yes, you can be free of condemnation if you just come and repent and you bring your sins to God. The Spirit helps you, encourages you. But I want to say, let's not get into that cycle of having to repent the whole time. Let's walk by the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. And the first thing he does is to remind us of our sonship. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's the work of the Spirit primarily, to remind us that we are born again. If you're not born again tonight, the Spirit is saying to you, come, be born again, be a son of God, be in relationship with the King of Kings. There's no better relationship. But you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cried, Abba, Father. And that's what happens when we're born again. We receive a spirit of adoption because Jesus says we are all orphans. We are all lost. We are all don't have a mommy and a daddy because our mommy and daddy that gave birth to us in the natural is also sinful people. They're not the father that you actually need. You need the perfect father. And it says the Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil wants to lie and say, you're not a child of God. Look at your performance. Look at your sins. Look at your track record. Oh, it's terrible. You're not a son of God. And he's lying because you've been born again. If you have, if you haven't been born again, then be born again. Know that you are a son of God. But I remember in my life, I walked a long journey with Jesus, knowing that I was going to heaven, but not knowing my purpose, not knowing why I've been born again. And that's my next point here. So he reminds us, first of all, of our identity. He reminds us that we are children of God. Then secondly, he reminds us of the fact that we are not just on this earth. That we've been born again, but you know what? We have a destiny. It says, for we know that the whole creation, in verse 22, groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we within ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does, that the coach in our lives does, he coaches us and he reminds us and tells us and encourages us that we are not of this world. Amen. That we have a destiny that's so secure and so awesome and so much better. And I'll never forget when I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, because that's what happened to me. I walked with Jesus for a while and then I got filled with the Spirit and a whole new world opened up to me. And one of the things I realized was, you know what, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I somehow don't belong here. This world suddenly becomes not so nice anymore. The things that are being offered in this world are just not great. But I've got a destiny in heaven and I'm just passing through. And I want to say to some of us here this evening that your life is not this world. So don't get so comfortable or don't get so upset when things don't go how you want them to go, because guess what? This life is not all there is. Isn't that good news for someone here this evening? That the Spirit reminds us of our destiny. Our destiny is in heaven, and this is just an opportunity to have a purpose. And we'll look at that now. We are merely pilgrims passing through, and in us there's an eager awaiting. There's an eager excitement, but also like a pain, because this pain of this world must pass away until we can get new bodies. But there's an eager waiting for the adoption when we're all made new and all have a new earth and a new heaven. Who's excited for that one day? In fact, imagine if it happens this week. Imagine if Jesus comes back now and he says, you know what, I can save you of this world. I'm sure some of us are, no, wait, I first want to get married. I first want to have kids. I first want to fulfill my, I first want to make a lot of money. Yes, that's great. But once again, it's still part of this world, and it's still something that we shouldn't get so excited about that we forget that the greatest thing in life is when we see Jesus face to face. That is what we're really waiting for. And that's what the first believers longed for. They said, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come now. Like, this world is just nothing because I've tasted heaven. I've tasted of your Spirit. I've tasted of your goodness. I want to go to be where there's mansions. There's awesome stuff. Life is going to happen in heaven. So the Spirit comes to remind us of our sonship, our identity. Secondly, comes to remind us of our destiny. And thirdly, why are you still here? Have you asked that question? If you're a son of God or a daughter of God, if you know that heaven is waiting for you, then why not go to heaven now? Why not die now? Let's all go to heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? The whole of Shofar Bloemfontein, raptured, you know, hey, awesome. I think it'll cause a bit of a stir. Some people ask questions, you know, where were we? Can't we also go? Why are we here? Why are we still here, guys? Anyone know? Think about it now. The coach wants to remind us that we still have a purpose on this earth. Amen. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You know, I'd actually love to die. But you know what? I need to live for Christ, because Christ has got people to save, people to disciple, people to lead into his kingdom. And so there's a purpose for us. Verse 26, it goes on, it says, likewise, now he's talking about this whole thing of redemption and, you know, our calling and all of that. And one day we're going to be made perfect and all of that. But he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Because in this earth, we have weaknesses. We're not perfect yet. So we're weak sometimes. It says we do not even know what we should pray for. Because guess what? All believers kind of, we know we must pray, but we don't always pray. Isn't that so? And sometimes we feel bad. You're not praying enough. And the Spirit just says, you know what? I'm going to make intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to start to intercede even within you. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's a will of God. Turn to someone next to you and say, there's a will of God. And one of the wills of God, or one of the verses in the Bible that talks about the will of God, is that no man must perish. Every man must come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Why do some people have to suffer and we've got this life? We've been saved. We've been born again. And so the will of God is that not only us get saved, but everyone who has an opportunity to respond can get saved. And so the will of God is that we become like Christ. And while becoming like Christ, our purpose is to tell the world the good news. Isn't that amazing? So the Spirit reminds us that we are called of God. In fact, that further down it goes that it's, you know, your calling is made sure. Talks about election and all of that stuff, but it says you are called of God. You are predestined. The verse just below that is the verse we love to quote. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. But what is God's purpose? And are you called according to your purpose? I believe his purpose is to remind us and to help us in our weaknesses. Because sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we don't witness. We just so focus on ourselves. But the Spirit is here because he understands we need a coach. We need a coach to help us in our weaknesses, to strengthen us, to empower us. I'm talking about praying. I'll never forget a story that, what sort of story had happened to me. I'm just going to tell you the story now. But the day we took Nathan, or Esther was pregnant with Nathan. He was about to be born here at Rose Park Hospital. For my other two kids, I didn't pray. I kind of just trusted God that the process would go well. And so I said to Esther, let's just pray before we went into the hospital. Now, she wasn't like that near to giving birth. She thought she was, but she was in a bit of pain, but you know, contractions weren't that close together. And so we walk into the hospital and she's like, "Ek gaan nou kraam," and the nurse says, "Ja, is nie in kraam nie." Okay, like, "Jy gaan hier staan en vir my sê jy is in kraam," like. But anyway, so we had time to pray. That's the bottom line. We had time to pray. So in the car, we prayed, and I just felt the Lord saying, "You must just commit this process to me, because I don't know what was going to happen, but I just felt the urge to pray." And I said, "Lord, just commit this whole birthing process and everything to you. Really trust you for it, and we just commit it to you." I don't know why, but I thought, oh, it's probably just random. Little did I know what would happen that night, the rest of that night. So she went into labor, gave birth and everything. Nathan came out and I'm holding him there. And you guys see him running around here. He's a crazy little guy with a calling on his life, because there's just been a battle for his life. Even recently he broke his leg. So I don't know what his calling is, but he's got a few battle scars to show. In fact, the testimony is that he wasn't supposed to be born, and we called him back to life and he was born miraculously. But anyway, so now the birthing process, so he's born now and I'm holding him there and I'm just loving this awesome son of mine. Meanwhile, my wife is now starting to bleed. I didn't know the doctor was there, and so she's now bleeding from the placenta, couldn't come out properly. And the doctor's now busy there, and I can see, like, he's almost stressing, but he's a very calm guy and he knows the Lord. But I can see, if I look back, I remember now, he was praying in the spirit and he was like pushing her uterus, or really like trying to contract it, that the blood stops. He did everything in the natural that he could. And he said to the sister, "Listen, yeah, you must just book the theater, because this is, we'll just have to go operate if it doesn't stop bleeding now." But anyway, praise the Lord, she stopped bleeding. And afterwards, the doctor just said, "You know what?" And I could see he wasn't stressed, but he just didn't make out as if it was a stressful situation. But he did tell us, "It was close." He said, "I thought I was going to lose you." And in fact, that whole night after he left there, he just phoned every half an hour, he phoned the nurses to ask if Hester's okay, because she could have bled to death. Although he probably would have operated and stuff. But the fact is that it was touch and go. And I believe the Lord warned us to pray and just to say, "We commit this to you. The devil is not going to steal." But in our weaknesses, sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know how we pray. In fact, I want to say sometimes we don't even pray. And the Lord is still faithful. Amen. Because he's the Spirit who knows our weaknesses. And he wants to help us, first of all, to pray. But I believe praying is just the start. I believe when we pray, we have an opportunity to move according to God's will. And whether it's to witness to someone, or to just speak the love of God, to speak the life of God, whatever he wants you to do, just start by saying, "Lord, I am weak, but you know what? Thank you for your help. Thank you that you intercede even on my behalf." And so the Spirit is the amazing coach. He helps us to know that we're sons and daughters of God. He helps us to know that this life is not all there is. He helps us to know that we've got a purpose and a calling. Amen. I want the ushers to hand out the communion now. My last scripture this evening. I've been reading a little bit about the Azusa Street Revival, and just the Lord just reminded me again of where we've come from. For those of you who don't know, we're a Pentecostal or charismatic church, okay? But we didn't just happen. We're part of masses and masses of denominations that didn't just happen. There was a start. And it started in Pentecost. It started 2,000 years ago when the first church was born, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But then we went through dark times in the history of the church. Anyone know Azusa Street Revival 1906, started by a guy called William Seymour? Started when people started to seek tongues and praying in tongues and seek the Spirit of God. And I'll just read some of the stuff that happened. But it started in 1906. And this guy, William Seymour, he got a few people together and he was preaching at a little church, and it started with a few hundred people, and then it grew to, said by mid-May 1906, anywhere from 300 to 1,500 people would attempt to fit into the small little room. And it says, since horses had very recently been the residents of this building, flies continually bothered the attendees. People from a diversity of backgrounds came together to worship. Men, women, children, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, rich, poor, illiterate, educated, uneducated. People from all ages flocked to Los Angeles with both skepticism and a desire to participate. The intermingling of races and the group's encouragement of women in leadership was remarkable, as 1906 was the height of the Jim Crow era of racial segregation and 14 years prior to women receiving suffrage in the United States. Worship at Azusa Street was frequent and spontaneous, with services going almost around the clock. Among those attracted to the revival were not only members of the Holiness Movement, but Baptists, Mennonites, Quakers, Presbyterians. And one of the guys observed the following: no instruments of music are used, none are needed, no choir. The angels have been heard by some in the spirit. No collections are taken, no bills have been posted to advertise the meetings. No church organization is back of it. All who are in touch with God realize as they enter the meetings, the Holy Spirit is the leader. And they received a lot of opposition from people that thought they were very weird. And, you know, they're called holy rollers or holy jumpers or tangled tongues or holy ghosters. I don't know. They were called all sorts of weird things, because they sought the Spirit. In fact, the testimony is that this guy, William Seymour, often was heard saying, or in fact, he was saying, repent. The people heard him shouting, repent, and he didn't talk much. He just got the people to focus on Jesus, and then they would sing. They repeatedly sang the song, "The Comforter Has Come." And then it says, By the end of 1906, most leaders from Azusa Street had spun off to form other congregations. So the movement dwindled a little bit away, but something started. And listen to this. There were congregations formed, such as the Apostolic Faith Mission, the Spanish AFM, the Italian Pentecostal Church, and it says these missions were largely composed of immigrant or ethnic groups. The Southeast United States was a particularly prolific area of growth for the movement, since Seymour's approach gave a useful explanation for a charismatic spiritual climate that had already been taken root in these areas. Other new missions were based on preachers who had charisma and energy. Nearly all of these new churches were founded among immigrants and the poor. Many existing Wesleyan holiness denominations adopted the Pentecostal message, such as, and it gives a whole list of churches. Then the Assemblies of God was formed in 1914, the Pentecostal Church of God in 1919, and it goes on and goes on. And then it says, to end off, it says, today there are more than 500 million Pentecostal and charismatic believers across the globe, and it is the fastest growing form of Christianity today. The Azusa Street Revival is commonly regarded as the beginning of the modern day Pentecostal movement. Why am I sharing this? I believe these people understood that they have a helper. They understood that they can have a relationship with a coach that can help them fulfill the calling of God in their lives. And it's so interesting to see, why did the church struggle from AD 33, when the Pentecost first happened, and the first few hundred years of church history in the book of Acts? There were massive stuff happening, and then for years and years, just nothing. Nothing happened. Until 1906 came, and before that, there was obviously people seeking the Lord, but suddenly a revival broke out, and it spread to the world. And in fact, we are here, and the AFMs and the assemblies and all the people that believe in an empowering of the Holy Spirit are here because of this move of God. And I don't know how it is in the world now. I don't know. There's people that are growing. There's, you know, the East, and in South America, there's a revival, and there's people really on fire for the Lord. I don't know how America's doing, because it started in America, but it seems like Pentecostalism and charismatic churches there are kind of getting very flaky, and I don't know how it is in South Africa. I don't know how, if you look at a trend, is it growing fast? I don't know. I believe it's growing. But I believe there is a danger that we can fade out if we don't seek the coach and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to keep me focused on the ball. I need you to keep me focused on Jesus, the Son of God, but then on the commission that He has given us. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. What is so amazing about this scripture is that it is still being fulfilled to this day. Isn't that amazing? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In other words, those who want to, because I've died on the cross. I've finished the work. I've gone to the Father. Now I give my spirit to everyone who wants to receive the Spirit. So I want the band to come forward this evening. I want us to respond to the voice of the Spirit tonight, the voice of the coach who's calling you. Maybe tonight you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. And I don't want you to be stressed tonight. I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, I want you. Because I could tell you in my life, I wouldn't have been standing here if it wasn't for the Spirit in my own life. I was shy, didn't want to speak to people. I knew Jesus, but you know what? And I heard it this week again, just from someone. You know, religion and relationship with God is so personal. Let's not talk about it. When I heard it, I was like, Lord, people need teaching. People need a revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because so many churches, it's so personal. And yes, it is personal. But you know what? I don't see it in Acts. I see everyone talking about the power of God. Everyone talking about the greatness of God. Everyone talking about the love of God. Everyone talking about this Jesus that is so amazing, whom they witnessed firsthand. But the Bible says, blessed are you who believe and you haven't seen. We are more blessed than the first disciples, guys. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we choose to believe what we haven't seen. They saw Jesus as a man, and I guess he's so much more glorious than just a man. But they still saw him, and they saw him physically doing stuff. But we choose to believe without seeing. And we are blessed. But I believe it's only the Spirit that can help us to really believe without seeing. But what we do see is the evidence of the Spirit. We do see lives changed. We see our own lives stripped away of all the flesh and all the self. And we see a love poured out in our hearts. I saw it in my own life. I really saw And I have to go back to it often because I need to remind myself I'm not just the old Alistair. I'm not just the Alistair that's sometimes stuck in his ways and, you know, just so stressed at times and so like worried about am I going to make it or not. I'm a new Alistair. I'm like free to worship God, free to tell people Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He asks you to follow him. He doesn't just ask you to say, I know you. He says, follow me. And in this process of following Jesus, we need a coach, guys. We need to focus on the ball. But tonight, as we're sitting here, and I just realized in my own life, I cannot focus on the ball. I cannot fulfill this thing of life without this coach because he helps me. He coaches me the whole time. And he tells me, you're going to do it. You're not a failure. You're not a second-class believer. You're a son and a daughter of God. And you know what? You don't have to make your home here. You've got a home that's already been prepared. So live as if your home's already prepared. Don't live as if this earth is so all there is. And then, you know what? I've got a purpose. I've got specific people for you to reach. And I'll never forget when I got filled with the Spirit. I just started to tell, you know, sitting on a plane, I would tell people, start conversations with people. In the natural, I'm like, I just want to sit in my own little seat and read a book. I don't want to talk, but something inside of me is excited to reach out to someone who maybe needs Jesus. Maybe needs just a touch from God. And maybe some of you have never had that experience. You know about God, but you don't know him intimately in his power and his manifest presence. Where you can give someone a word. Where you can give someone an encouragement that's not just, oh, you're so cool, man. It's really an encouragement from the Spirit. This is what the Spirit is saying. You can pray and you can pray and intercede and just connect with God. Like, it was so lovely, our intercessors on Thursday, how we're praying together and just God is speaking words through people. And it just confirms stuff that God has been showing many of us. That you can pray according to the Spirit and you can witness according to the Spirit and you can live life filled with the joy, the peace, the love, self-control, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, all those things, patience, goodness, all the fruits, the nine fruits of the Spirit. You can be filled with that. And I believe we're in a time where so many people are trying to do Christianity and the Lord says, I've given you a coach that you can do Christianity. You can't try to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it well and you're going to fulfill the calling on your life. So I want us all to stand this evening, and I want to pray for some specific people tonight. Let's all stand. Before we take communion, I really want you to be honest tonight. I want you to say, Alistair, I have heard about the Holy Spirit, and I thought, you know, I have the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I want to say there's a difference between having the presence of the Holy Spirit and having the anointing, the fullness of the Spirit. Because the presence of the Spirit is there. When you say to Jesus, yes, Jesus, I follow you, the presence is there. The presence actually drew you to Jesus. But now Jesus wants to baptize you in the Spirit and say, the same power that I had is yours now. And my life's never been the same since I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we get continually filled, but there's a baptism. There's a time when you know, I'm now empowered believer. And so I want you to close your eyes this evening. I want you to be really honest, because I believe some people, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time tonight. You've never been baptized in the Spirit, and you'll know it. If you're unsure of what I'm talking about, then I'm talking to you, because you haven't been baptized. You know when you're baptized in the Spirit. You cannot stop telling people. It's like when you got saved. You can't stop telling people. But if you're here tonight and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want the coach to be right with you, in you, all around you, every day of your life, then you can have that. You don't have to know about Jesus or know Jesus as He's the Savior, but the Spirit is the empowerment of Jesus. He empowers you. Is there anyone like that tonight? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You'd love to walk a life of abundance. You'd love to walk a life of power where you can manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. You can prophesy. You can speak in tongues. You can interpret other languages. It's an incredible life. But He gives the gifts as He pleases. It's not about the gifts. It's about the relationship with the coach Himself, the helper. Is there anyone like that? You want to be filled with the power of God tonight? I'd love to pray with you. Don't want you to leave this place and you're not filled with the power of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. Is there anyone? Raise your hand here this evening. Believers, you can pray. You can pray for people, because there's a war on. There's a battle on for the flesh now, because if we're not filled with the Spirit, the flesh still reigns. But if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, I want you to raise your hand. There's some hands going up. More people, anyone else who wants to be filled with the power of God, I want to thank you for your hands. I want you to take a bold step forward. If you didn't raise your hand even tonight, but you need to come and be filled, come. We'd love to pray with you. We want to lay hands upon you. Leaders, come. Some of the student leaders, just come forward and meet these people. But people need to be filled with the power of God. Can you come forward? Those who've raised your hands, we'd love to pray with you. Don't want to expose you, but we'd love to witness with you for what God is doing. Just come, everyone who's raised their hands. And then there's people tonight. Yaku, you guys come. All the leaders, you guys are standing around looking. Come pray for people. Bring people to the front. Thank you so much for your obedience. You guys, life is never going to be the same again. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, or you need to be just baptized again, you've lost the voice of the coach. You've been Spirit-filled and baptized already, but you want to just say yes again to the Spirit of God tonight in your life. Come. Come forward. If the Spirit is speaking to you and tugging at you and you know, oh, I just want a living relationship with the Spirit, come. Tonight He's here to empower you to be a witness. But He's empowering you to be a son, first of all. So is there anyone else you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit again? You've lost that passion, that power to witness. You're shy. You're afraid of people. Anyone else? Just come and join these people. Is there anyone? The Lord is speaking to you. Just come stand in the front here, you guys. There'll be facilitators. Come pray. Come stand, Joiso, Greta. Facilitators, can we have some ladies facilitating? Just come stand here. Meet Emily, Belinda, whoever is going to pray, come. Just close your eyes. Don't look around now. Everyone, close your eyes and pray. If you still need to come to the front, tonight is your moment of power, I want to say. And I want to say tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I also want you to come, because the Spirit is going to introduce you to Jesus tonight. You need Jesus to save you, because you cannot have the Spirit without having the one who makes it possible to have the Spirit. And His name is Jesus. Because we should never glorify the Spirit above Jesus. The Spirit doesn't glorify Himself. It brings us to Jesus. Amen. So if you're here tonight, you know that you're not going to heaven, and tonight is your night. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Guys, it's serious. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't want you to walk out of this place and you're like, what was that? want you to be assured of your place in heaven, the mansion that's prepared for you. But you need to know Jesus tonight. So if you don't know Jesus, let the Spirit introduce you to Him. But if you do know Jesus and you want Him to baptize you with the Spirit, come. I want us to pray together, all of us. Let's all pray together. We're gonna trust the Lord for a baptism of the Spirit. Can we have some more facilitators? Ladies, if you can pray for someone, come. Just even if it's 2x2, just lay hands on these amazing people here tonight. We're going to pray together and just say, Jesus. Let's say, Jesus. All of us together, Jesus. Tonight, I recognize that I need your power. I want a living relationship with your Spirit. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit. And I ask you now, Jesus, because I know you, to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me, Spirit of God. I surrender to you tonight. I give you everything. I give you control. Come and lead me, Spirit. Holy Spirit, I recognize that you're the helper. Welcome in my life. Come and fill me. Come and fill me. Come and baptize me. That I can have your power and your presence. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for each confession here by faith, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. I just want you to pray in tongues over these people, the facilitators. If you can just pray in tongues, the Lord will release you in your tongue. If you've been filled with the Spirit, one of the outflowings is the tongues, and He'll release you in your time. But just surrender to the Spirit of God. Just surrender to His power tonight. Just surrender. Just surrender. The Lord has got awesome plans for you. Tonight, the Lord just says, tonight He's done a new thing. There's so much brokenness, but He's mending it. And tonight He said that He's the healer. He's your healer tonight in every aspect of your life. He's your healer tonight in Jesus' name. And you're a new vessel. You're a new creation. This jar, it's like this vase that's just being filled with power and filled with authority. And there's a lot of questions. The Lord just says He will answer those questions. But you are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Lord, thank you for her life. Thank you, Lord, for just a flower that's ready to open up, Lord. A flower that's ready to run with you, Lord. A flower that's ready to receive sunlight, Lord, because she's been in darkness. There's been so much darkness, so much depression at times, so much stuff that's just, Lord. Yeah, Father, we just thank you right now for your sunlight in her life, the rays, Lord, the warmth, God, just the embrace. The Lord is just embracing you tonight by His Spirit. And your heart is so ready. Your heart is so ready tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom, Lord. Just sense freedom for her tonight, Lord. Freedom. She's going to dance like this little girl, God, free of all the cares of this world, Lord. You have a mansion prepared for you. You've got a house that's, Lord, beyond her understanding, God. Thank you that she's not going to seek a house on this earth, Lord. At times, she just so wanted to settle and wanted to make a house and be so comfortable, Lord. But I just thank you tonight. You're saying your comfort zone is being shaken and it's the greatest adventure that's starting. Just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the adventure. You've been called for a time like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for new life, Lord. New life. The pools have been flowing at times, but then they've stagnated. But new life of your Spirit flows tonight through her life in Jesus' name. New life. All the algae and all the stuff's going to be washed away by your Spirit tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just sense healing hands. I just sense healing hands, God, in Jesus' name. Hands that will lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. There's a desire there, Lord, to activate that tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just for eyes to see, Lord. Eyes to see what the Spirit is saying, Lord. Open these eyes again, Lord. Baptize her afresh tonight, Lord. Fill her, Lord. Fill her, Lord, in Jesus' name, that she can see what you see, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, you put a new mantle of authority over her, Lord. And thank you for the humility that your Spirit has created in her, Lord. So baptize her afresh with a surrender, Lord, a heart to surrender She's been taking control at times, Lord, but you want to say to her again, let go of every control, let go of all the analytical stuff and all the stuff that you're trying to work things out, because that's not who you are. You're free in the Spirit to be led by the wisdom and the understanding of God, and it's beyond human comprehension. And I just sense, Desiree, for the Lord is calling you just to do radical stuff, and it's going to feel weird at times, but don't do it out of the flesh, just do it out of the Spirit. And it's going to feel uncomfortable, but He's going to take you to a place where it's so comfortable, because I sense there's people around you that are also going to be comfortable with it, in Jesus' name. So baptize her afresh tonight, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the infilling of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just want you guys, to the facilitators, just take the people aside. Just go and sit at the back if you have to, but or grab a chair here in the front. And we just want to take communion together. So just take your communion and just go sit at a place where you can pray with each other. So facilitators, just lead the people to a place where you can minister now, and just take communion in your own time. The rest of us are just going to take communion tonight. Isn't the Spirit so gentle and so awesome? You guys can all sit now. We're not finished yet. The Holy Spirit wants to touch us tonight as we take communion right now. I want you to bring your brokenness before the Lord. I just sense humility. God wants to bring us to humility, guys. So I want you to bring your brokenness before the Lord and be honest with Him right now. A word came earlier today about we need to be real before God, and I believe this is the time. So I want you to take this piece of cracker. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bring your brokenness. I want you to see, as you look at this, I want you to see your brokenness. This is not Jesus' brokenness. He was actually perfect. He was just broken by people, but he never lost His perfection. It just represents our brokenness tonight, amen. And sometimes we think we're so cool and we've got it sorted and we've been serving the Lord for all these years, and you're a leader tonight maybe and you've discipled lots of people. The Lord says, I want you to see your brokenness. I want you to make a peace with the fact that you're not perfect. You need Jesus Christ tonight, amen. So just come before Him humbly. Just say, Jesus, I celebrate your wholeness because I see my brokenness, and thank you that I'm whole because of you. But in myself, I'm broken, Lord. But thank you that you're making me whole. And I just want us to be so humble before the Lord now and just let Him do something great as you eat this. Take off His wholeness, that you can be made whole, and that your brokenness is also okay with Christ. He's happy with it. In fact, that's why He died, because He died for a broken world. So thank you for our brokenness tonight. Just do business with the Lord as you eat this body of Him together. We just worship you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you lead us to the cross, Lord. Thank you that you lead us to the place of humility, Lord. You lead us to the place of our own brokenness, Lord. Thank you for your wholeness, Lord. Thank you for healing tonight in hearts, Lord. In hearts that have been hurt in relationships, Lord. Lord, in relationships, Lord, where there's been attraction, Lord, and then there's just been intimacy, Lord, but then there's just been hurt, Lord. I thank you that you heal, Lord, relationships, Lord, between guys and girls here, Lord, tonight. You heal, Lord, hearts that have been hurt through relationships, Lord. Some people, yeah, Lord, have even given themselves, Lord, not physically, Lord, but given themselves so emotionally, Lord, that they've been hurt, Lord. And I just thank you that you bring healing tonight, Lord. I just sense even tonight there's ladies that have been hurt by other ladies, just friendship relationships. You've just been hurt, and could have even been in church, could have even been here, and the Lord just says tonight is he wants to stop that hurt. He wants to stop that. It's almost like bleeding. He just wants to stop that flow of hurt the whole time, and you struggle to connect with other people, especially even in church, specifically ladies here tonight. Just bring that brokenness to the Lord. Just bring those hearts that have so many walls around them. But the Lord says tonight, those walls are going to fall because I want your heart. I want to have your heart in my hand because you've kept it away from me. Tonight, just give your heart to the Lord. Give that brokenness. And as you do that, just know that He's made all things new. He's made a new covenant. And that's what the cup is that you're holding in your hand. It's the cup of the new covenant. He's forgiven all your sin, and He's caused you also to forgive. He's allowing, giving you the grace to forgive those who've hurt you. And so just forgive tonight. As you drink of this cup, just forgive whoever you need to forgive tonight, because there's grace, there's power. There's the Spirit is empowering you to forgive tonight. Some people need to let go. You need to let go of people that have, you're trying to work it out. You're trying to analyze and trying to think, how can you mend this thing? And the Lord just says, let it go, but forgive. Forgive and I will mend it. So just drink of this tonight. Drink of His blood tonight. Know that His blood has been shed. He's made it possible for you to have life, to flow into other people's lives. That's why this liquid is so awesome, because it flows. His blood flows so that you can have life. And His Spirit is also flowing through you. So let His Spirit flow. Everything that's blocking, just let it unblock now in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's drink together. Lord, I thank you for healing tonight, Lord. Thank you that hearts, Lord, not only women, Lord, but there's men here whose hearts are so vulnerable, Lord, and so fragile, Lord, and they're trying to act, Lord, like everything's okay, but Lord, I just sense tonight is the breaking point, Lord. Tonight is the point of letting go. If you've been confronted this holiday by relational strain with your parents, I really believe Jesus wants to heal you tonight. Maybe your parents disagree with how you worship Him, and it's such a struggle because at home it's not spirit-filled, it's not exciting, there's no joy, but they're serving the Lord, but just in a different way, and it challenges you, and maybe you've been hurt, and just there's been relational strain. Maybe they don't even know the Lord, maybe they're even spirit-filled, and you had a confrontation, or you just had conflict this holiday, and I believe Jesus wants to heal you tonight. So I really want you to come forward afterwards, and I'd love to pray with you, because I know what you're going through, because I also was confronted with that this holiday. Esther and I were challenged just with the relationship with our parents, and I believe God is just sorting out stuff in our own lives. I think He's doing it all over. He's just humbling ourselves and making us just more loving through the challenging times, but it's not easy. So just come if that's you. Love to pray with you. Just be honest. want to see relationships restored. And I believe Jesus wants to have relationships restored here tonight. If you need any healing tonight, I just want you to come, and I just want you guys to kneel on the floor if you're willing to do that. You guys that have come forward, just come and bring. We're going to pray for you now, but I want you to do business with the Lord. The altar is here just for that place of consecration, that place of rawness. Sometimes you're seen and it's not comfortable. It's not about being seen. It's just about stepping out and saying, Jesus, tonight I'm building an altar. I'm actually making a mark in the sand. I'm stopping just with my own pride many times. And Jesus is so faithful. So I just want you to do business with the Lord. If anyone else needs prayer, if it was a word for you, then just come. Ladies, if you need to be healed in your hearts because of relationships, come. Whether it's with a guy or another girl, Jesus loves the heart of a woman. He wants to come and make it whole again. Because he knows it's so sensitive to the Spirit, but so many times it's so hard because there's so much brokenness. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing tonight. I'm going to dismiss you if you have to go, but I really want you to be quiet and drink coffee at the back if you need to go. Fellowship, get a cup of coffee and chat outside if possible. But I really, really believe the Lord is just busy with hearts here tonight. So sit and have fellowship and don't move. If you don't need to move, you really don't have to go. But if you do need to go, please feel free to go. But I know the Spirit is here. The coach is here tonight. And he's reminding us that we're sons, first of all. He's reminding us that we have a home in heaven. And he's reminding us that we have a purpose. And sometimes before that purpose comes to fulfillment, or even while it's coming to fulfillment, he just heals us. Because we get hurt along the way. It's a tough life that we call to live, but it's a great life. Because we put ourselves on the line and say, Jesus, I'm all yours, everything. I'm willing to be broken even for you, Lord. I'm willing to be hurt for you. Because you make me whole. So, Benny, over to you guys to just, the Spirit will minister through the band tonight. If you need any form of prayer, come. Otherwise, just stay where you are and just fellowship with Holy Spirit.